Glory to God, it sounded like it to me. Hallelujah. I try to ignore a lot of that stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he shows up. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. God began to deal with me yesterday about preaching this morning. I really like to preach on the blessing, man. I'm telling you, praise God, I don't really like to preach on sin. It's real, and we know we ought not to do it. Because I like to be focused towards God and faith, and that, and the goodness of God leads us on into the victories of God. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. That curse entered in. That curse, you can read all about it. I really don't got time to get into the curse. But you can go to Deuteronomy 28 and you can read the blessing and you can read the curse that God laid out in the Word for His people, praise God. And He told them, He said, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to obey all that I command you, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. They just gonna run you down. That's what He was saying. And praise God. And so you go take time to get in there, and it's very important that you go when you understand the blessing and you understand the curse that's in Deuteronomy 28 covers them. It says, and all these curses will come on you if you won't hearken, and it tells all of that. And it gets down to the end of Deuteronomy 28 and it says, and even the ones that is not written in the book will come on you. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been walking in the blessing now for about 28 years. 29 years. Hallelujah. Ever since I've been born again. When you're born again, you come out from under the curse that is operating in this earth. You've got to understand, at the fall of Adam, the curse entered in. Sin entered into this planet. Hallelujah. And that's how come sickness and disease and strife and division and all of those things came in. Through one man's disobedience, the Bible says, that sin entered into this earth. Praise God. And the curse is operating in this earth. And like I said, go over to Deuteronomy and find out what the curse is. Find out what it is. But I'm fixing to tell you that Jesus redeemed us, and I'm going to give you some scripture from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from sickness and disease. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from spiritual death. Hallelujah. You've been redeemed from poverty and lack and destruction. You've been redeemed, and you've been placed into a place of power through Jesus. Hallelujah. And just like Sandy couldn't help herself, gets up here, let Satan ramp and rage and lie. When God tells me to change things, I change them. Satan tries to come because of the conflict it may or may not cause. It begins to cause me to try to get down in God. You don't get down in God. You get on up and set up in that heavenly place. And you say, I believe that I'm hearing you, God. I believe that I'm making the right choice. And no matter how I feel or no matter how people respond, God, I'm pleasing you. And when you do that, then you are putting your feet on the devil. You got him under your feet. And then, you know, you're not in a battle anymore because you're casting that over. Did you know that being in faith, when you casting things on the Lord and you're doing your best to trust him, and did you know you're in faith? God told me yesterday, he said, when you're casting things on me, he said, you're in faith. He said, you wouldn't be doing it if you wasn't. I thought, well, glory to God. I've been in faith for a lot of years, 30 years nearly, because I'm continually having to cast things over on the Lord. One time I thought, when am I going to have to stop casting things on you, Lord? And he said, you never will. He said, you always go out to lean on me. When you're not strong, when you need a friend, somebody to lean on, you're going to need him. I need him. You need him. Praise God. And in ourselves, we would be defeated by Satan. But we're not within ourselves. We're in the name of Jesus. We're in the power of the Most High God. We are the anointed ones that is walking in this generation that is taking by force the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. That is taking our healing. It's taking our spiritual walk. Hallelujah. As long as I got that Bible and Jesus ain't come back yet, hallelujah, I am going to wage a good warfare. I'm going to take the double-edged sword, which is the Word of God in Ephesians, and I'm not going to lay down in defeat to sickness and disease, because we've been redeemed from it. Been redeemed. You've been redeemed from rocky marriages. You've been redeemed, y'all young folk, from marrying and getting divorced, marrying and getting divorced. You've been redeemed from that. The Bible says that you two become one flesh, I told Teresa yesterday, because there's always battles going on, battles in the natural realm, battles in the spiritual realm, battles in everybody else's life, you know, and you're lifting them up and praying for them. But I told Teresa yesterday, I said, we've been called and anointed to lead this church into victory. Well, I can't lay in bed and lead you into victory. I can't lay down when I got to go, the doctor says, this test looks like this, and I can't just lay down and say, well, it is what it is. Oh, me, Lord. You know my heart, Lord. No, Monty taught us this morning. The Bible says, with our heart, man believes unto righteousness. Well, with your heart, you believe you're healed. With your heart, you believe you're going to prosper. You believe you're going to come out. He said, and out of your mouth, Monty taught us, out of your mouth. But you know what? If you don't renew your mind to the Word of God that you are a child of the Most High God, then he can talk to you and tell you you ain't nobody and never going to be anybody. But if you don't get in there and renew your mind that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that means all the bad things that's happening to everybody without God and all of that, and get it in down in your heart through renewing your mind with it, you're just going to be like, well, ain't Susie had it, and everybody, oh, they got it. One of my sister's daughters had a brain aneurysm last night. I believe she's in her mid to upper 40s. I'm not real sure. And she just fell over dead in her house, you know, last night. And I'm trying to put the sermon together, and I was going to put on Facebook, if you ain't going to church anywhere this morning, I'm always inviting people to church every Sunday. I might not see them on the street, but I believe if they get in here, Jackie, I believe they'll be changed. I believe God's in here. I believe God's anointing's in here. I don't believe it's my fine preaching. Most time I don't even know what I'm preaching. You know, I'm just coming out of my heart and my spirit and what I believe, praise the Lord. But it's not about, I think that we got all the, no, I know we got God in here. I know what God's called us to do. We planted here by the Spirit of God, and we're going somewhere in God, hallelujah. So I believe everybody that comes under that anointing that God's placed on this ministry that we are so privileged to be a part of and to operate in and him operate through us. I believe this ministry has the anointing of Jesus Christ on it. I believe that God has put his stamp of approval on this church. And I believe that that anointing, when our hearts are planted and knit together, praise God, when we do that, then that same anointing, yoke-breaking anointing, goes out in our lives to work. It goes out in our lives, and Satan comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, you know. But Jesus said, I believe, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. I speak to my body, I speak to that headache in the name of Jesus. I command it to loose you right now. I command every demonic spirit that has come against you in the name of Jesus to bow. I bow right now in the name of Jesus. We bind you. We come together. We come together for our brother right now. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, you will not have it from this time on. Loosed in the name of Jesus. You have that authority. Sandy gets up. She senses those demonic spirits, attitudes, different that he was talking about. How many knows when you're yielding to unbelief, you got wrong spirits following you around? When you're angry at home and you know you're mad and all of that, and you come to church, it's a good thing. I want you to. I'm just telling you. I mean, I'm not trying to deter anybody that's jacked up the floor up not to come to church, because church is where you know, they say it's a hospital, but it's not. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, But when you come in those wrong spirits, but you know what? That's what we do as a body. We have the anointing of the Most High God, and then Sandy gets up and she leads us in taking authority. I felt it too. But we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been ready. Give me the, I guess, if I got Galatians first or what have I got? Give me that one. That'll be fine. For by it one man's offense death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall somebody say reign. My golly, that don't say we barely gonna make it. The Bible says that mine and your life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. He said that we will reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Reign. That means be in authority. That means be over situations. That means have authority and walk in that authority over the powers of darkness. The Bible says that a messenger of Satan, see, look, the more that God begins to reveal himself to you and me, to the body, not just here, to people, then the enemy is going to come and he's going to try to stop you from walking in the light that God has given you. Because Paul went to the Lord and he told him about this demonic spirit. Went to the Lord to help him. Wanted God to bind it, I guess. I don't really know. Thorn in the flesh. It was called a messenger of Satan. Sent to buffet him. The Bible says, because I got revelation that I'm going to prosper. Comes to buffet me, you know, or I get a revelation that I'm redeemed from the curse, and then he turns it on a little bit, brings sickness into. I had this thought, oh my God, I've been having headaches after I heard that my niece had a brain aneurysm and fell over dead. This morning I had a headache and I thought, oh my God, hope I don't just fall over dead all of a sudden. Now I didn't have not one thought about an aneurysm until I got a report. Come on somebody, that's the enemy. Whose report will I believe? That's right. So you just cast that thing down. The best thing you can do is come out of your mouth and say, that'll never happen to me. I'm redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your mouth will speak your authority. Your mouth will speak what you believe. If you believe you're defeated, you'll go around, oh, God, help me if you can. I mean, you'll go around, get the prayer chain. See, you're not in faith. I'm not saying don't get people to believe with you, but I'm telling you, you don't need an army right there with you to believe and praise your God. I mean, all you got to do is rise up in here and say, as for me and my house, glory to God, I'm going to serve the Lord. But God told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you go through or what devil or what comes in, God's grace that is in your life, the power that enables you to be successful is there. But you got to pull that plate up and you got to eat it. You got to be different from church people. I am one. I go to church. But you got to be different than just church people. You're the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. We're not just churchgoers. If you ain't been born again, you're all over the planet, you ain't been born again, then you're not the redeemed yet. Then you are subject to the curse of that law. And Satan at times can attack you and bad things come and you will believe wrong and you will call things to you that is under the curse. But then when you get over and born again, you must be born again. People say, well, God's sovereign. God is. And yes, God is sovereign. But the scripture says that God is bound to his word. He cannot do anything he wants to do. If he could, everybody on this planet would be saved when they popped out of mama. But God give man free will, then he give us his word. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for that Bible. I thank God that it let me know that I could have a good, I got a good marriage. I come home, I was under attack for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Y'all knowing it right now, and that's the only time you should know it. Bless God, a person of faith to walk knowing, confident that their God is going to see them through what they're going through. And you won't have the need to lean on people. When you're really trusting God, you won't have that need to lean on people. Why? Because you are trusting the one that set the universe in motion. Hallelujah. I've been under attack for 2 or 3 weeks. Trying to get me to believe I'm not going to prosper. Trying to get me to believe this church ain't going to prosper. I mean, the heat and cooling system turns up. I worked a couple of days down here. Drove in the snow and ice to try to get it all straightened out and all of that stuff. And I'm thinking, God, don't I ever get a break from church? Poor little baby. I got to work. I got to feed my cows. Teresa reminds me, about every time I go in, especially when the dog barks at night and I've not put her light up. She told me last night, if I had my light up, I mean, the light's been there for 3 months. I mean, give me time, please. Give me a minute. I'll get to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Told her, well, I started back and I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to buy Teresa some flowers this morning. Flowers. And so I come by and Johnny, I didn't go by nowhere, had none. Yeah. And so I got home and I gave her a little sugar and I told her, I said, I brought you some flowers by faith, baby. She said, what? Flowers by faith? I said, yes, I brought you some flowers by faith. And I told her this morning, she said, I better put my faith flowers in some water in the vase. And I said, yeah, you better. She said, because they're eternal flowers and they will live forever. These are faith flowers. You can't get no better flowers than faith flowers. Now, my heart doctor tells me 60% of my heart is not getting enough oil. Blood. Praise God. Well, you know what? Those things will try to ride you. See, your physical body is not you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he. You're a new creation. Now this inner man is going to control the factors of your life and my life. If I let it. But I can look at life and I go, oh, Jesus, what's the use? Every time I try to straighten the church up, get it, something blows, somebody gets upset. Then they try to get me upset. What's the use? Just let it. Then they start whining. Not you, Monty. I am not talking about you. I love you, man. I love every one of y'all, praise God. I love working with y'all. You know why? Because I'm walking in the blessing and we're fixing to get on to some more scriptures, you know. Because it ain't about all these rules and regulations. We're fixing to get to it where he give us a better commandment. A greater one, love. It fulfills all the law. Somebody said to me one time, well, you don't keep the Ten Commandments no more. I said, I don't have no need to. I said, because if I love you, I won't have your wife. If I love you, I won't lie on you. If I love you, I won't steal from you. If I love her, I won't commit adultery. If I love God, I won't. So if I'm in love, walking in love, then I will fulfill all the commandments that the law required, which we are under a new covenant. I don't have any choice but to love you. And it's a good one. That is a good choice. See, I used to didn't have the power to love. I only could love whenever somebody was treating me right and all that. But once I got born again, and the Bible says in Romans 5 over there that the love of God, that God's love has been poured out into us, has been put into us by the Holy Spirit, I begin to realize that now I'm a new creation. Now I have the God kind of love in me which sent Jesus to the cross because He loved me that much and loved you that much. That love is in me and you. And that love is what causes Deuteronomy 28. It causes that to start happening in mine and your life. That is why Satan wants you mad at one another. That's why Satan wants you to take somebody's, you know, character. I rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, man, but they just don't know what I could give them. I mean, they might look at me and think, well, Scotty thinks he knows it all. I know a little bit. I done found out a little bit of who I think I am. I am a child of the Most High God. I'm blessed going in, blessed going, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed is the fruit of my body, blessed is my cattle and my flock and my sheep, blessed is my storehouse. You know, I heard a preacher yesterday, he said, you know, I was reading that, he said, I didn't have a storehouse. He said, so I went and took some money and I invested it in stocks, you know, whatever it was. He said, and I told the Lord, okay, now, Lord, I got a storehouse. He said, and it went from 2,000. He said, then it went from there to 250,000. He said, then before you know it, he said, I had 1,000,000. So you know what I did back several years ago? I started me a saving account. That's my storehouse. And that baby's getting chunkier and chunkier and chunkier. And oh, it's just getting chunkier. Why? Because the blessing's working in your life. You know, well, you got to get off all that reasoning junk and renew your mind. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. He said right there that we shall reign through Jesus Christ. Not through our own ability. Not through we renew our mind, then we stop thinking poverty. We stop thinking lack. We stop talking and thinking lack. We start speaking in line. We start doing like our God does, and we call those things that be not as though they were. I called my veins to be full when I go, and they do this other test they wanting to do. I done talked to my veins. I done talked to my heart. I've done talked to my lungs, and I've done talked to my brain. I'm healed in the name of this ride. I remind Satan. Every now and then I'll remind him. I say, oh yeah, you remember what 1 Peter 2:24 says? When I have these thoughts, you're going to die young. I say, hey, you remember 2:24? Do you remember Satan Isaiah? And he starts going, oh God, I wish they'd shut up with that word stuff. I got to get out of here. That's what he does. The Bible says for you to resist. It didn't say pet Satan and he'll flee. It didn't say talk to him and commune with him and he'll flee. It says resist him. And when you're standing on God's word, you are submitted to him. You're submitted to God. That's what that is. You're submitted to him. When your heart is to do the will of God, you're submitted to God. You don't have to say, well, I got to get submitted. No, you're already submitted. He said, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he has to flee. He got out of here when Sandy got up there with her little, I couldn't believe she's getting bold, could you? I thought, preach it, girl. There ain't all this crying going on when you get up in that face. It's like, rah! I'm talking about you. Oh, the Bible, that's what I'm going to do right there. The Bible done says what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. It gets easier and easier. I mean, you know, victory is addicted. It's addicting. I'm addicted to victory. I'm addicted to freedom. You know, when I done this sermon one time, God told me, he said, why don't you just go ahead and surrender to victory? And I said, why not, Lord? Just surrender to victory. For here comes Teresa. Rah, 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 rah. I'm like, hey, baby. What was I doing? Surrendering to victory, baby. Let whatever is coming against you, let it rage. But you just surrender to victory. I shall not be moved. I mean, use these old Christian hymns that are not so old. They come out of the heavenlies, and they're still good today. Hallelujah. That is scripture. That's Psalms 23. I went around saying for a long time, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I didn't have nothing. But I looked at that scripture and I said, glory to God, you said be doers of the word. Well, I ain't doing it yet, so I'm going to do it. Most of the time when I heard being doers of the word of God, they were condemning me for, I've still got some stuff jacked up in my life. I still got a few things jacked up. I know you're shocked that I say that. Why would I want to lie to you? That I'm under construction just like me and you. I have to use my faith. I have to cast down thoughts just like everybody else. I've got a real life going on just like you. You might see me as some big, you know, I don't never have no trial. I don't know how you see me, but don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself, praise God. I'm working on this fight of faith too. I'm keeping the devil. I don't have to put him under my feet. I keep him there. I just ain't letting him up. He's like, come on, let me up. No, you ain't coming up, you ugly devil. Pray God, all you're going to do is roar. All you're going to do is try to just shut up. I use my imagination for that kind of stuff. I see him under my feet. Bible says it. Bible says that Jesus put him under our feet. He's in us. He's under our feet. Praise God. It's hot in here. Hot in here. Better than last Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah. Come down here, worked on the things of the Lord between and got all that took care of. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I did it for you. You know why? Because I love you. And I have the ability, so I didn't call nobody. I thought seek first the kingdom. Ain't that what I preach here? Then don't go not do it myself, right? I might be too busy. My business is too, nope, seek first the kingdom. Monty told us that. You know, whatever is real important to us, that's what we're going to put our time in. But you know, and so we want the kingdom to be our goal. Hallelujah. You want that kingdom operating in your house. You want it operating at your workplace. You want it operating when you walk in that grocery store and you say, it won't be long, Lord, I won't need a calculator. Glory to God. And then you go out there and you say, I've been redeemed from this. I've been redeemed from not having enough. Jesus said he come that I might have life and have it more abundant. And if you study your scripture, that word abundant means to the full, to it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. I thought about Johnny and them, Deuteronomy chapter 28. They're wanting a baby. Oh, God, just bless their quiver full. Pop them triplets. I didn't ask God to pop you triplets. I would not do that to you. I would not do that to nobody. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But I did tell the Lord, I said, there's their baby, Lord. You said blessed will be the fruit of their body. Then I got scripture over yonder. I stood on for Travis. He better thank God I'm a man of faith. I've got him bringing in thousands of dollars into his house. My faith is still doing it today. He told me that he would, in Psalms 112 over there, that he would bless my children. He'd bless my children. And so I told him, I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to take you at your word. And Travis, he might think, I'm doing it. He tells Teresa, my one makes your bacon and brings it home. Now, he's messing with mama, you know. But the blessing, my faith, he's answering me. Buddy, I served the Lord, and I brought him up in the admonition of the Lord. I brought him to church. I made him fast, not from food, but I'd make him fast in Nintendo or whatever, you know, a set time at home. We fasted at home, and we got some criticism from our kid. And, you know, it made me want to just put him up for adoption, you know, at different times, you know, because I'm like, if he knew the good that I'm trying to do for him, he wouldn't want out from under my house. He would want to stay here because this is a blessing zone. And we even got letters from him, you know, because he didn't want to tell us personally. And I would pick one up and it would say, I hate fasting. And I'd be like, that's got to be from Travis. I barely can read it. You know what I would do with it? I'd just wad it up and go in there and put, there's where you belong. There's where you belong, in the garbage can. And one of my sisters told me one time, she said, oh, I feel sorry for Travis. I said, what do you feel sorry for Travis for? You've got him in a spiritual prison. I said, a spiritual prison? I said, what do you mean? I said, what are you talking about? Well, he has to go to church all the time. You don't let him watch much on TV. I said, no. I said, I didn't tell you what. I said, you know, I didn't ask you. I said, I didn't ask you, with all due respect. I said, that TV belongs to me. I said, and before I will let it corrupt my son, I said, I'll go get my daddy's 12-gauge shotgun that he left me when he died, and I'll go blow that outside of my trailer. Amen. You know what I was doing? All I was doing was taking a godly stand against evil, getting corrupted in my son's mind and corrupting his heart and feeding him lies and stuff. We knew that they were going to try to teach him in school, not like they are now, you know, that we evolved. And sure enough, they did. But we had it so ingrained in him in the Word of God that he was created in the image and likeness of God. And then when they confronted him with that, he would tell them, no, I'm created. I didn't come out from under a rock or evolve from a monkey. Wasn't a big boom, and there comes Jackie. Hey! This didn't happen that way, Jackie. You know, I need her sometimes. Look at her hair. I mean, she looks kind of normal right now. And I really like, you know, sometimes she just gets a little wild with this hair stuff. She's a hairdresser, you know, hair cutter, hairstylist, you know. She's anointed for it, been doing it a long time. And I thought about it one time. I thought, man, if they wouldn't just eject me from the church, I love purple, Jackie. And I thought, Jackie would do it for me. All these other people that knows I'm pastors probably wouldn't do it. But I could probably go to Jackie and let her fix me up half pink and half purple. And, you know, man, I would just love to come preach to y'all that way. Jackie's laughing because she can see it. And she's like, I don't know about that. I'd be like, Lord, I don't want to have to take 3 months for them to get back to where they could receive. But what I'm saying, your hair don't change you. Your hair don't change you. I had a kind of semi beard like Brother Chris, you know. I like beards. I mean, I had a full beard, man, you know, and all that going on when I got saved. long hair in a shag. I used to sing Garth Brooks and all that. I'd put his hats on. I sung Garth Brooks to Travis when he wasn't even here. He's in Mama, because they told me he could hear me. So I wanted him to know Daddy when he come out. I identified with a lot of that stuff, you know. And so I'm on the streets one time. Maybe I'd shave down to like I am now, goatee, you know. I'd shave down to a goatee. On the streets of Oneonta down there, praise the Lord, preaching the gospel. And this lady comes up and she gets out and she says, Mr. Weston? And I said, yes. She said, you got a minute? I said, sure I do. And she said, I would come and hear you preach if you would shave that stuff off. Did you know what that makes you look like? And I said, I don't want to know. I said, I guess you won't be coming out here. I said, if you think that's going to change my heart, you're done bad mistaken, lady. I said, I told her, did you think John the Baptist had hair when he came out of the wilderness? He said it was in his beard. Locust and wild honey in his beard. I said, what'd you do? Take that page out? See, what it was, the enemy was working on her not to come hear the gospel. You know, it was something that he was using to get offense towards me because she felt like, I mean, why would you even ask me to do that? You must like what I'm preaching. You heard a little of it. See, look, your believing is going to be part of your speaking. And your speaking, when it lines up with the Word, I mean, you don't have to have victory manifest to go ahead and believe, God, that you already got it. See, Mark 11 tells us, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive it and we'll have it. You know what that means? That means take it right then. Dude, I got to walk by faith. I mean, here I am preaching the gospel and all of that. Well, this one lady, she lived over by Bluebell over there. And I don't know if it's apartments or whatever it was. She's a bedridden woman. I don't know how long she's been bedridden. Didn't even know she was over there existed. But I'm out there and I got these speakers up. And you can hear it echo across Oneonta. You can just hear it echo, man. I liked it. I thought, whoo, yeah, I'm going all over the city right now. And I'd see them pulling through Taco Bell, and I thought they're going to get 3 minutes of preaching. They're going to get 3 minutes over at Mickey D's. You know, they're going to get it when, and they're standing there going in the grocery store, and I'm like, oh, yeah, your word don't return void, Lord. I'm standing there thinking I'm preaching the gospel. Blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Somebody sent me a text this morning, and they said, preach the word with a big exclamation mark. And I said, yes, I will. Exclamation mark, thanks. Boop. I said, let's go, Lord. Well, she's bedridden over there, praise God. See, you ain't got no troubles this morning. All you need is to keep your confidence up in God. All you need, well, you don't know how much to, no, get your mind off, think on these things, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever, we got a $1,500 light bill on the county, y'all, here. See there, that's the right response, hallelujah. I don't care if it's 15, we're warm this morning, right? We ain't got no busted water lines. And besides that, whose bill is it? His. When I heard that, I thought, oh, well, not my problem. Ooh, glory to God. And then the Lord says, give. I thought, oh, man, I knew he was going to hit me up on that. He said, I want you to sow this. And I'm like, okay, whatever, Lord. Praise the Lord. And I thought, my time to prosper. See, when God's asking you to give, don't say, oh, my God, God, don't you understand what kind of fix we're already in? I've always been in poverty. I've never had enough, and you're wanting me to give? Somebody needs to give. Don't get in that whining, beg me, leech. Proverbs says leech. You know what a leech is? Hooks on to your body, starts sucking the blood out of you. Just give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. See, faith will cause you to be, oh, Jesus, I got to see who I can give my last quarter to. Glory to God. I just can't help it, praise God. It says give, and it's, come on, somebody, come by where I can give my last quarter. I have fun being a Christian, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, it's a good life. Well, the little lady hears the preaching going on. So she tells her family. She says somebody. She actually got two of her little grandkids. Told them to bring their van over. And they put this bedridden woman in a van and drove her over there and parked her in the parking lot. They come over there and it was about 3 minutes till 7. And I was prompt on starting at 7. When I told everybody we're starting at 7, I didn't wait on the churches to get there. They asked me to, and I told them no, and they quit coming for a while. Hey, man, you know. Well, they're on their way. Well, I don't care. Let them quit work. Get here on time. Take off at 4 o'clock from work if you can't get here at 7. Don't ask me to lie. But I love people. Anyhow, man, and they come over there and said, hey, sir, my grandmother is in the van over there. And she's wanting you to lay hands on her. I looked at my claw and I thought, oh, Jesus. I said, okay. So I hurried. I hurried over there. I went over there and I laid hands on that lady. I said, build in the name of Jesus. Boy, and I took off. And this little woman come out of that van healed. And she outrun me to my microphone. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the honest God's truth now. See, she'd been hearing that word preached out there. And in her heart, she thought, I got to get down there to that man of God. You know, and people going to call on you. I'm just going to call Chris. I know he touches God. I know he, you know, and that happens to all of us, see. And then if we've got the victory and showing the victory in their life, then they know who to turn to. Angry young man the other day. And he's just angry. I told him, bring me a load of firewood. He brought me a load of firewood over there. When he got out of the truck, he just started. These old people, they get set in their own ways. Of course, he's cussing and all that, you know. He knows I'm a Christian. He's letting it out. He's just letting out all the hurt and the anger and all of that stuff, you know. And I don't know, you know, why we're anointed, that's why. And so, when he got to where I told him, I said, not everybody. I said, you're looking at one that ain't. I'm not setting my ways, I'm setting God's ways. I said, you're not looking at an angry man. You're not looking at a man that's wanting you to come down on your wood. I said, you're not looking at a man that wants to rip you off. I said, you're looking at somebody that cares. I said, so, you know, don't go around thinking everybody is angry. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody, see how the world is? You're living in that curse, thinking that curse, thinking that way, living that way. You might have been done wrong time, one time wrong. Now Satan tells you everybody, so you don't get big on your circle. Somebody takes something from me, you know what I do? They can't steal from me. I sow it. You can't steal from a sower. You steal my car? I leave my keys in my car. Maybe I should. I don't care where I'm at. Travis, he takes them out if he's with me and locks my car down. And I go back and try to get in, have to wait on him to get out there. I'm like, what? Man, he locked the car down out here. Because I'm like, I got angels watching over me. I got angels watching over my stuff, praise God, hallelujah. And you know what? I'm not going to let Travis contaminate it. He wouldn't mean to. He wouldn't do it on purpose. You can't let nobody contaminate your beliefs from the Bible. You make quality decisions out of the Bible that you're healed, that your angels are with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Praise God. If you want to know His will and you want to follow it, you can. I've heard people say, I just can't follow the will of God. Why not? Because I got to work. I said, you know what? I do too. I said, what, you think God don't know that? I said, you know. I said, he did. I said, I wanted to quit my job. I didn't want to work no more. God, man, if I can go preach a gospel and get paid, good Lord Almighty, who'd want to work? Well, I quit my job because I'm a full-time evangelist at that time. And me and Teresa like to starve to death. I went to the mailbox by faith every day. Yep, check's going to be there tomorrow. Check's going to be there. God's going to start sending it in. Oh, Lord, yes, it's coming in. Bless going in. Bless go. But I had to be in His will. Hearken to the voice of the Lord. So I come in one day and Teresa said, we were down. Now, you got to go back to work. I said, man, I'm an evangelist. I'm full-time ministry here. She said, but we're starving, though. And so I did. I went back to work, and guess what? We started eating again. It didn't even take a miracle. And then God told me one time, He said, you are an anointed businessman. I said, I'm an evangelist. He said, yeah, you're in a mission field. So when I'd find out somebody had cancer, my customers, I'd say, hey, can I come on in there and pray for them? I'm going to pray for them because I thought, black God, I'm going to get paid to get people healed of cancer. He's going to pay me to get out there. So wherever you're at, you're in a mission field. This world's a mission field. When you pull up pumping gas, you're a minister of the gospel. You don't have to tell everybody, yeah, I'm a minister, guys. How many of y'all want to get saved? You ain't got to do it like that. But just listen to the inward man. And he's liable to tell you, walk over there at that gas pump. That woman's fixing to commit suicide. And I had you to get gas here. And go tell her that I love her. You know what? A few days later, about back to the guy that was angry and all of that, a few days later, I've decided to go buy me a brand new wood splitter. So I went and bought me a, asked the Lord about it, and He was fine. I went and bought me a brand new wood splitter, and I'm on my way back, and the Lord said, I want you to give your other one to Him. And I thought, man, He don't deserve a wood splitter. He won't even let me talk to you about you, Lord. So I thought, what better way to be a witness? And so I picked up the phone and I called the guy. Actually, give two wood splitters away in one day because I'm blessed, man. I called him up and I said, hey. What are you doing here in the next 30 minutes? He said, what's your plan? Just ugly. What's your plan? And I said, well, I don't have one. Well, what's your plan? I said, well, I really don't have a plan. I said, but I need you to meet me at my shop for just a few minutes. I said, I'm leaving Arab, and I'll be there in 20 minutes. Now, mind you, I'm under attack all this time, trying to get me to quit serving Jesus, trying to make me think things ain't going to work out, things are bad, and, you know, and I mean, making changes in ministry. I know the battles y'all have to deal with in ministry. I understand all those battles. They're battles that nobody can help you with other than Jesus. Because when He tells you to do something, you've got to go do. You go doing that. You know? And then He works out the details. The battle in your mind has to be settled. I am doing the will of God. Now shut up. I realize when God changes things, the battle's there because you want to do the will of God and all of that, you know. Well, He gets over there, you know, and He pulls up there, and I done moved my wood splitter, and I'm cranking that one up, you know. I bought it brand new. It's still a good one. Just needs a cylinder packed a little is all it needs. And he said, oh, man, that's a nice wood splitter. And I said, yeah, and I shut it off, you know. I said, yeah. I said, it's a nice wood splitter. He said, but boy, that one really is nice over there. I said, yeah, I'm a blessed man. I said, the Lord Jesus is good to me. I said, He gave me the ability to get that one. I said, you know, on my way back, I said, Jesus told me to give you mine, this one. He said, oh, get out of here. You can't be serious. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I mean, that big, angry, humble, I mean, timberjack, mad, angry at the world dude, now he's wanting to bow. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I said, I know what's going on. I said, you don't need to respond at all. I said, all you need to do is thank Jesus for giving you that. He come over and hugged me and he said, well, I thank you and I do thank the Lord Jesus. He said, I do thank the Lord Jesus. I said, well, that's good, that's all. He said, well, I'm going to cut you some. I said, I don't want nothing, man. I said, if you're going to have to owe me, I'm just keeping it. I said, I'm not doing it for that. I said, I've got plenty of wood, man. I said, I've got 16 acres of wood. I said, I've got wood laying on the ground. I said, I just get a little lazy every now and then. And it's easier just to have you haul it over here and stack it all. Really, I could pay you to come put it in my deep heater. So, you know, I mean, in all this time, I'm in battles. I'm in battles in the business. I'm in battles in the church. I'm in battles in my family. I'm in battles in some things financially. You know what I'm saying? But none of these things got to be where none of these things move you. None of these things move you. You keeping your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, because all these things, the curse is trying to get you to yield to it. The curse is trying to get defeat is under the curse. Sickness is under the curse. Oppressed is under the... Somebody told me last week, they said, well, you know, not you, not anybody in here. They said, well, I'm bipolar. And they say I'm bipolar and this and that, you know. And I said, well, I got the answer for you. What kind of medicine? I said, it's not medicine. I said, it is. I said, it's the Word of God. I said, it's Jesus. I said, you got to get in God's Word, and you got to renew your mind to God's Word. I mean, I was oppressed when my daddy died because I was without Jesus. And I can see it in the pictures. All of them were serving Jesus. They took a picture of just the men and the women by themselves, two different pictures. I can sit there and show you, pick out in there which ones of them was serving Jesus, because they had a peace in their heart. They had the expression on their face, you know, although they lost the same dad. But now when my mama died, was a different ball game for this old boy. I stayed oppressed for over a year when my dad died. My best friend died. The one that let me by with everything died. And who didn't ever whoop me died. And spoilt me died. And used his car and done tail spins when he told me not to, died. But when mom died, I was in a different ball game. I was in a different game. I was in a different kingdom. And I've not been oppressed not one day over my mama dying. Or my sister dying with cancer. Or I'm not going to be oppressed over my niece dying, praise God. Well, if they was born again, praise God, they're going to heaven. But I'm going to live on and occupy here. And I'm going to praise God for the life that I had with them. So if you're oppressed, you're thinking about you. Poor you and how you feel. And they're feeling glory. They're feeling glory, man. I told the Lord, and I'm going to close with this. I told the Lord this morning back there when I was praying for the service, I said, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this service today as it is in heaven. That's a pretty deep prayer. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. There's no lack of having babies in heaven. There's streets of gold and there's no lack in heaven. So you're going to experience heaven on this earth before Jesus comes back. If I have anything to do with it, with preaching to you, then you're going to experience it. I can't lie. I don't like you sick. I don't want you to die. I don't like doing funerals. I'd rather faith didn't keep you alive. 120 years old. We'll just go meet Jesus together. Stay alive. Stay well. Stay, walk in divine health. And have more than enough. Or if I need a Corvette, you just buy one. Brother Scotty, God tell me you wanted a red one. I don't want a Corvette. I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we